In October 2015, Lucas Leonard died in a brutal attack. He was savagely beaten by a group at the Word of Life Christian Church in New Hartford, New York. That's just outside of Utica. Among those who took part in the attack were Luke's parents and his half-sister. 17-year-old Christopher Leonard, Luke's younger brother, survived a similar beating. Susan Ashline has written a book about the mind-controlling forces that led to this horrific crime. It's called Without a Prayer, The Death of Lucas Leonard and How One Church Became a Cult. Susan, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Describe the Leonard family briefly, how they got involved with the Word of Life Church and who they were as a family.
Well, they both came from hard places in their lives.
This is Bruce and Debbie Leonard.
So Debbie had been married previously, and Bruce had been married previously, and there's some suggestion that the pastor of the Word of Life Church, the founder, which was Jerry Irwin, kind of manipulated it so he connected them, Bruce and Debbie, to marry each other. But Bruce had kind of, Debbie had kind of fleed a previous relationship and really had no place to go. I believe she was living with her parents, and her brother invited her to the church. And Bruce's wife had up and left him and then divorced him and took their daughter, their only child, with her. And he was looking for some direction in life. So he then found out about the church, and he went there, and Jerry Irwin, the pastor, had said something to him that Bruce felt only Jerry could know. And he took that as evidence that, well, maybe this person is speaking directly to God, which is what Jerry Irwin was telling his followers.
And the Word of Life, we now know, was not really a church. It was really a cult led by the Irwin family. First Jerry, who died in 2012, and then taken over by Tiffany, his daughter, took over as pastor after that. Describe what she was like and how she controlled the minds of people like the Leonards and the other parishioners.
Tiffany was raised, you know, by her parents and by Jerry, and Jerry was an abusive tyrant, and she grew up in that environment. But also, when she was very young, she was very, very religious, and she was reading the Bible for hours and hours every single day from when she was very, very young and could first start to read. And then she was acting out plays in scripture to kind of testify to other people. So she was very into being a Christian, or what she believed to be a Christian. As she got older, and it wasn't much older before she started to believe that she could raise the dead, heal people, and she also believed that God was talking directly to her. So she was God's mouthpiece, basically. So if you cut off Tiffany, you would cut off your link to God. So her father eventually passes away. And before he passed away, Tiffany had become assistant pastor. People really liked her services and her messages. And then once her father passed away and she took over, she turned very violent and abusive. So this didn't all happen very in your face and very suddenly. It just kind of evolved that way over time.
Talk about some of the things she did to keep tabs on the congregation.
Well, she, like her father, would contact people at home. If somebody didn't show up for church, they would need to answer to Tiffany as to why they weren't there. In the end, they needed to ask permission to do just about everything. I mean, even her family members answered to her, and they had to ask permission. They were running a dog breeding business out of this building where they had the church and where they lived. And at one point, she says, we need to go pray. And her brother says, well, may I please shower first? I have dog fecal matter on me, essentially. And she says, no, it's prayer time.
Take us to the night of Luke's death and when Luke and Chris were both beaten. And listeners, here's where I'm going to warn you. This is going to be very graphic, hard to listen to. What happened that night?
Luke had been entertaining thoughts of getting out of that place. And his sister had left the cult, and he had asked to go visit her church. And that was a couple months before this happened. But it raised all the alarm bells among the Irwins, who wanted to keep all of the people there at the church. So that night, Tiffany claims she got word from God that this was the night to confront Lucas about his desires to leave the church. In the process of confronting him about that, things got carried away and they spiraled into all other allegations. Some were true, some were completely off the wall. They, again, trying to meet her desire for an answer, began saying all sorts of things that even didn't make sense and weren't possible, but they began admitting to them. As they were admitting things, the onlookers who were there became upset about what they were admitting to, and that turned physical. So they didn't have a way out of the confrontation with the questions. They would answer, and if it was the wrong answer, they'd get hit. They would stay quiet, and they would get hit because they were demanding answers of them.
Hit with fists? Hit with some kind of power cord?
It started with fists. It started with punches. It started with, and then it was holding them up so they could be punched. There were kicks thrown. And eventually a member of the church walked over to a storage closet, and she picked up a power cord that goes to a computer. And she handed it to either first the mother or the father. That's kind of up for debate still. But then the father or the mother first began striking the boys. And then that evolved. There evolved to allegations of them molesting one of their sister's young children. At that point, their sister, Sarah Ferguson, became so enraged upon hearing this suggestion that she took the power cord and she began whipping them with the metal pronged ends. Eventually, the metal prongs bent backwards. She whipped them so hard, and it stripped the plastic off the cord.
You wrote to all 9 defendants, who some of whom are eligible for parole as early as next year, and only one of them answered you, Bruce Leonard, the father of Luke and Chris. What did he say?
Well, he didn't quite answer me at first. He got back into touch with his oldest daughter, Crystal Leonard, who had been the first one within that family to leave the cult. And he just handed my letter to her. And she wrote me out of the blue one day. And then that evolved to a working relationship where she agreed to help me with this book. And both of us kept trying to express to Bruce the importance of telling his side. And he's not a fast thinker. And so it was 10 months after I initially wrote to him that he eventually put together a letter to talk about his reflections. And part of that was so difficult for him was that he had never written down or even got in touch with these thoughts within his own self. So it was very difficult for him to compose a letter to talk about the events that night and his feelings about the church. But he had come to an awareness of a lot of things around that. So most of that letter is actually reprinted with his permission in the book.
He now understands a lot of things that he didn't understand then, and he's incredibly remorseful.
Absolutely. And I don't know if I want to give away what he says in the letter, but yes, he is the only one that has expressed any remorse or taken any responsibility. And again, I haven't heard from the others, but as far as I know to date, he is the only one.
You know, you said in the book you believe Chris and Luke were trying to leave the church, or at least Luke. But this was all they ever knew. They weren't even sure how to do that.
I just had this conversation this morning. I was with somebody else. I was talking about, there's a very poignant quote in there from the Oneida County District Attorney. And he sums it up, and he says, I truly believe that Luke wanted to leave, but where's he going to go? He knows nothing. He has nothing. He's afraid of the outside world. He's not some kid who's, you know, interimly gone to college and, you know, he's gotten the wings to fly now. He knows nothing.
And so if we assume his admission to sexually abusing nieces and nephews was a false admission, that might have been his way of rebelling, his only way he could rebel against this authority figure in this cult.
Rebel with his mind. That was the only thing. And whenever he appeared before Tiffany, you could see, because I watched videos and I listened to audio tapes, you could see that he felt very intimidated in front of her, and he turned to mush. And her brothers were said to be the muscle of that church. So they were very intimidating. They were 6'4", 300 pounds. So when he's in a room with these people, he can't even fight physically and afraid to walk out the door. And at times the church doors were locked so he couldn't leave if he wanted to. So yeah, the DA believed that he was saying very, very outrageous things that was his way to fight and to be unique. You know, every adolescent goes through this period where they're, you know, wearing bicycle chains or dyeing their hair blue and, you know, their individuality, but he couldn't be an individual.
Tiffany Irwin was not only trying to control the minds and the thoughts and the actions of the congregation at Word of Life, she was also trying to control, and did in many cases control, their finances.
Yeah, they were supposed to give tithes to the church, which is not uncommon, but they also gave over their work bonuses, in some cases their food stamps, whatever they could. And they were always not just encouraged, but really pressured to give more money. One woman claims that she received a check from a lawsuit and they convinced her to turn the money over to them.
Do you believe that money was the underlying reason for this whole thing, that was the need for the control over these people?
That's been the DA's theory for a motive, and I agree with that. I think that there are some other motives that the reader might come up also. I think Tiffany had a real love-hate relationship with Crystal. There were some issues there, and I think that that may be one of the reasons why Tiffany and her family treated the Leonards so badly, which maybe helped escalate to what became a very abusive situation.
Crystal being
Crystal
Debbie Leonard.
Mm-hmm. Not Debbie Leonard, not Debbie's daughter, but Bruce's daughter.
Bruce's daughter, yeah, from Debbie, the previous relationship.
Yeah, Debbie was Crystal's stepmother.
Susan Ashline, the title of the book, Without a Prayer, The Death of Lucas Leonard and How One Church Became a Cult. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.